You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Welcome to the BFM Historical Society. In episode one, we talk to Dominic Nola, former program director. A woman as renowned for her adventurous sartorial style as she was for her eclectic taste in music. In this episode, Dom tells us of how scary it was in doing her first radio show up here at the Bee, and how, despite a great deal of preparation, her first day on the job as program director went horribly wrong. Welcoming right now Dominic Nola to the BFM Historical Society. Now, just for the record, tell us, when were you at BFM?
I actually, funnily enough, found a BFM DJ card which we were issued back in 1987, and that is the date on it. So I know I was here at 1987 and pre-1987, but I seem to think that I might have also been here probably a few years before that. BFM started to get fiercely organised at that time. Judy Arnadu was station manager, and we had just sort of recently crossed over into being an FM station FM. from an AM station.
The radio station this trailer advertises is rated R18. Content may disturb.
BFM.
This is definitely one of my most favourite New Zealand tracks from Belter Space. From the Thermos album, this track's called Fish Eye. And please note that the cover design is by John Howison. I was always interested in music, but I had heard that you could do radio shows here. I think I probably listened to BFM, I did. And I think I just got really ballsy one day and decided I'd walk up those stairs and say, oh, can I have a radio show, please? And there were, you know, a lot of powerful women up here at that point. Lots of scary women.
Debbie Gibbs, Michelle McGill,
yes.
Judy Anna.
Exactly. And actually, I think Debbie Gibbs may have been station manager at that time. And I remember my first radio show, Judy said that she would sit in with me and she would, you know, look over my shoulder. And I was as nervous as hell. The first show I got was a 10 till 2, which is a long show, 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. You know, I had all my music all organised and stuff, and I think someone else was supposed to come and look over me, but they never showed up. So there I was. It was nerve-wracking. I mean, you didn't just have to talk, but you had to actually run the station, and it was really nerve-wracking. The first show happened, and then after you've done one, you just get totally addicted. And I think I braved all the scary women and just decided that, no, I was just going to keep doing it. I was sharing the role of program director with a guy called Robert Southon, and we did the job together. At that time, people who have gone on to pursue commercial radio careers, such as Graham Hill, Marcus Lush, those people were doing shows at BFM. We got them to do shows at BFM. Marcus Lush on Talkback on a Sunday night, which was a great show. And we also had Graham Hill doing the breakfast show, which was also cool. You know, I actually taught him how to do a radio show, and then from there he went on to being the breakfast show host, which he did for a very long time. In terms of specialist shows, I was personally responsible for Kirk G doing the 50s doo-wop show, which was a pretty neat show. I can't remember what night of the week it was, but it was great to hear all that doo-wop stuff. And Kirk was such a doo-wop nerd, it was just great to have all that information and that music being played. Jeff Wright, who started doing the Hard, Fast and Heavy show for us, this was pre-Jeff Wright being a drum and bass head. Back in the day when Jeff Wright had long hair and was into hardcore music, so he was doing that, and that was pre-Psychoff. And then we had DLT and DJ Severe doing the True School Hip Hop show, which, you know, was a long-standing show. Just off the top of my head, those shows were ones that we, and radio hosts that we put into position around that time. And then, of course, Murray Kamak was still doing Land of the Good Groove in that early part of me joining BFM. And, you know, of course, his show was definitely groundbreaking for the dance music. And, you know, it's just all these people who are nerdy about their music and, you know, not just say, hey, are you listening to 95 BFM? It's 2 minutes past nine. And here's a track now from blah, blah, blah. This is total information. You hear everything about that artist, where they, you know, what they have for breakfast. I mean, that's all interesting stuff. So we tried to really introduce people like that that bought something other than they had a great radio voice or whatever, you know. 95. I think the most important thing that I learnt of being a program director is to be able to sort the men out from the boys from all different types of music. So as a program director back in those days, we had no downloads, nothing. Record companies would actually come and give you vinyl, later on CDs. You know, you just had all this pile of music. There were things like even country stuff, you know, weird things like Lucinda Williams, you know, a lot of Bonnie Raitt, stuff like that. And as well as a smattering of punk rock, and a lot of hip hop was coming in then, different music that you may have never heard of before. You're the one that makes the decision. And we never went for single tracks. In fact, there was really no such thing as single tracks with a lot of these artists, because they weren't commercial radio artists anyway. So it's just like, well, you just pick the best track on the album. That's a real skill, is to be able to pick a country song and then turn around and pick a hip-hop song and then turn around and pick a reggae song and build a playlist that pleases everyone. And I think a playlist is a reflection of all your listeners out there, because not everyone listens to hip-hop, not everyone listens to dance music. Back then the BFM audience was very broad, and I don't know, I mean, maybe it still is. We've all grown older, listen to BFM, and we still like to hear a broad spectrum of music. fact, this was the little room that I would sit in for hours on end and go into my little room and shut the door. In fact, I would just flick through the tracks, and if the track didn't get me in the first couple of seconds, I would just move to the next one until I found the one that did. That's how I used to do it, and everyone would say, oh my god, that's a really weird way of doing it, but that's just what, that's worked for me. Aside from having record companies coming and delivering you product every week, we would also have the great record store, which back then was called Sounds Unlimited in Newmarket, where Pete Farnham was the import buyer there, and he opened our minds to lots of great music, things that ended up being great music on the BFM playlist, things like My Bloody Valentine, Daniel Dax, Pera Ubu, Keith LeBlanc, that whole tacky thing, the Three Johns, and the new Wire when they did a change to their music, and Big Black and stuff like that. I mean, all those things were things that I'd got from True Tone or before then Sounds Unlimited, and I'd go in there every maybe month and say, okay, what have you got for me? And I'd flick through and he'd say, oh, this is really great and this is really good and should have this. And so we're actually really globally up to date.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
All these records would be flowing in, air freighted, and so we were actually just as up to date as probably what they might play in Britain or whatever, given the fact that we didn't have any of the new technology to make us up to date. In hindsight, we did pretty bloody good.
BFM.
This was another track that featured very hugely on the BFM playlist around 1988. This is Sonic Youth. Off the Daydream Nation album, this one is called Total Trash.
Yeah.
It was a really exciting time, and there was many different sorts of great, exciting innovations happening in many different music genres. So it was a great time to be program director. You know, I seem to think it was a better time then to be it than now, because music was really exciting back then. I'm not saying that new stuff doesn't excite me, but people actually really did appreciate the radios, because this was the only place they could really hear this stuff. I mean, now with the internet and everything, it's just like, well, yeah, I can be sitting in my lounge listening to KUSF in San Francisco and hearing what they're playing, you know. Back then, we couldn't do that. It was just only BFM if you, you know, liked anything outside of the box. So, yeah, that kind of made us really special and really unique. I think the whole basis of radio is definitely changing, you know.
Are there some sort of particular kind of young people that came up to you at the time and said, oh, Dom, I'd really love to do something on the radio, people that you mentored or that you're particularly proud of giving them a slot or getting them on there?
Well, I do remember teaching Graham Hill how to do a show, and that was really special. It was kind of good to see someone like Graham Hill, just as nervous as I, sitting in the hot seat when he, you know, had to do his first show too. Graham Hill is a massive Pere Ubu fan. And my apologies if my vinyl is scratchy. I am probably one of the only BFM DJs known for her scratchy records, because if there's fluff, they will find my records, for sure. I don't think anything's changed.
Touch me, 'cause I've got a misdirection. You are listening to 95BFM right across Auckland City.
People that were working at BFM at the time that inspired the music playlist, like office manager Pasini Farafa, who brought to us things like Bill Withers and Ten City and all that crazy schmaltzy dance music that was happening at that time. You know, the clubs were big in those days, and he was a club DJ. And so, you know, that got incorporated into the playlist. Matthew Heine and Frankie Hill, who were our production engineers at that time. Frankie with her band Fatal Jelly Space, and there was always a Fatal Jelly Space track on playlists. And Matthew Heine with, you know, his wonderful band Spud. And so there was always a Spud track on playlist. You know, and then Nick D'Angelo, who was the famous Nick D'Angelo, who was station manager at the time. He was a hip-hop king, so, you know, he was just like, okay, well, you know, got to have this on, and got to have that on, and here's this record, and here's that record. You know, in every single room, there was a different person listening to different music, and they were bringing it to me, and I was saying, okay, all right, I'll put that track on playlist, blah, blah, blah. So the playlist of that time was influenced by kind of everyone that worked here, and fortunately, everybody was into different things, so it all sort of worked.
Mm. Any thoughts you have of BFM currently? I mean, I think it's amazing that BFM has been going for 40 years.
Oh,
for a
it's
start.
Wonderful.
I think it's incredible that it's survived and keeps rocking on. Your thoughts about the current state of BFM?
Yeah, you know, I do always enjoy listening to BFM. I think that new people coming through the station, it's always refreshing to hear, you know, and it is good when people move on and go off and go and do something else for a while. And you know, if it never changes, I mean, basically BFM has always been a training ground for people to pursue radio, and this is really still the only place that you can just walk in and sit in that room, in that chair, and be on air. I mean, I think that's a wonderful opportunity for people who are interested in music, interested in radio. So it's kind of neat to hear the new voices still. Although in saying that, it still has to be slick. People sitting in the seat have to have some interesting personality. Like, we love Matt and Chris because they're definitely great personality people, and they don't mind swearing on radio. And actually, I was always quite famous for swearing on radio too, so it's kind of nice that someone else is doing it other than me.
That sounds nice.
This girlfriend of mine said once, oh my god, I loved your show, but you cuss on the air too much. It's just like, oh, you know, fuck it. I'm just like, that's me. I mean, it's, you know, the microphone is an extension of the telephone, and that's how I treat it. And I love it when DJs do that too, you know.
If you wait until you deserve to think pleasant thoughts.
Well, it could be a mixture of you know, back catalog, more gold tracks and new stuff as well, you know, because the BFM audience, I feel, you know, and people that I know, there's a lot of 40-year-olds out there that are still listening to BFM, and they really appreciate hearing, you know, something that was played on BFM 20 years ago, you know. Hard cocks all round, what can I say? We are going to play Reignition, and it is from Bad Brains. This is from the Youth Again Restless album, live at the Paradiso Amsterdam in 1987. So enjoy. Turn it up.
What's not?
Day one, Dom's first day of program director. Back in those days, BFM would shut down for like 6 weeks or something. And so we came back on air, new program director, new playlist. And the person who I'd asked to do the show had gone out and got absolutely rotten pissed and high the night before. And I wake up at like 9 o'clock in the morning, turn the radio on, and there's dead air. I'm like, oh my God, what the hell? So I get my car, I drive to BFM, and I find the host asleep at the console. So that was Dom's first day of program director. First radio show host falling asleep. I'm just like, oh my God. Anyway, I have to say, it got much better from there.
Of course, a lot of people who come through BFM, and there have been an awful lot, go on to illustrious careers in film and television and radio and other media. Tell us a little bit about what you've done.
For the last few years, my partner and I have put together a little record label called Y Records. We say it's the smallest label in the world. And we run that out of our front room. Globally, the music gets distributed through our German label, and it gets distributed through lots and lots and lots of digital platforms all over the world. So we really have only just signed the one artist so far, DJ T-Rock and Squashy Nice. And we released the second album from them not so long ago, well, actually this time last year, and it's still doing great for us. So it's so small that when we get some extra money, we'll start releasing other artists. And aside from that, you know, I'm really into my little cocktail sets. I play music to drink champagne to in restaurants here and there. Yeah, ring me if you want a booking. And I just love that 50s lounge music, so I have a big collection of 50s lounge. I also enjoy my punk rock sets, which I do at the Thirsty Dog every now and again. Not being on BFM so much these days, it's just like, oh, you know, I just have to get my fix of punk songs or guitar-heavy songs, you know, and it gives me a great opportunity to play all that stuff to people. But, of course, there's not the talking part, you know, I miss the talking part.
Now here's something to think about. Something very important about your health.
Brush, brush your teeth, please do it. Brush them night and day. The very best care will keep them there, and they'll never, never move away.
There's been other sides to me. I have definitely been a big hip-hop nerd, and more sort of recent years, probably from about the late 90s, I discovered the whole scratch DJ thing. This track that I'm about to play here is a perfect meld of the rock and the hip-hop scratch DJ thing all mixing in a great soup. This is a track from the Return of the DJ album series on Bomb Hip Hop Records out of San Francisco, one of the most premier scratch DJ labels in the world. DJ Short Fuse, and the track is called Unpleasant Thoughts. Yes, this features some pretty serious Sabbath cuts. Turn that one up.
in which hard. Our thinking is pleasant a good share of the time. If you wait until you deserve to think pleasant thoughts, you are likely to think unpleasant thoughts concerning your unworthiness.
Hard rock like thing from Fantastic Four.
Okay, well, right now something that's kind of turned my head has been another Scratch DJ thing, this time from DJ Quest off his album called Quest Delicious, and this was an album that he did last year, Hands That Rock the Tables and all of that, so yeah, seek that one out. Here's a track off it.
Ready, ready, rock, rock, roll, roll, roll. All right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, let's get started.
Now,
sounds nice. If you're a needle.
Mikey Havoc tells us in Breakfast Show, we are one of the greatest radio stations, so stay on top of your game, BFM.
Yeah. You have been listening to the BFM Historical Society, a radio documentary made to commemorate BFM's 40th anniversary. The BFM Historical Society is produced by Dubhead.
95 BFM.
Oh, I love this song.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.